Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. Gosh, about 10 days out of Christmas. A couple of days before the Jaguars' regular season home finale. And we've got a lot to talk with you about this morning as the Jaguars get set to take on the Houston Texans. I'm Brian Sexton, along with John Osher and Ashlyn Sullivan. Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and, of course, on social media. And we'll start with the obvious, and that is this is a big game for the Jaguars because they can clinch a playoff berth on Sunday with a win over the Texans.
Yeah, for the, fourth time in franchise history, they have a chance to clinch going to the playoffs out here. And it's significant because it's been 10 years since it happened. I think in a lot of the other times it's happened, it didn't quite have that feel of urgency. I mean, 96 obviously did. But a couple times when it happens, it's not huge deal because it's happened before. It's recent memory. This has a chance to be big. And, you know, I get that people are thinking about seeding and about the division title. And those are bigger goals. And this team has a chance to go way, way deep in the playoffs, I believe. But get there, to do it in front of the home fans after what this fan base has been through, boy, does it have a chance to be a big day.
Well, and I think stacking it on top of last week, mm-hmm. right? It was an amazing crowd last week. I know you're in a controlled environment, sound.
I have.
And air conditioning.
No weather in the press box.
Yeah, never.
It's very nice up there.
But there was a vibe in the stadium that you just couldn't, you couldn't miss it early. And then late with all the hijinks on the field mm-hmm. that spilled over to the sideline and almost into the stands. And in the locker room afterwards, players talked about that. They talked about the fans having their back. So now you have a chance in front of the home crowd to deliver the playoffs in a year that none of us were really talking about that.
Right.
I don't want to say it's a surprise because now as we've gone through the season, clearly we're not surprised when this team plays well. But at the end of the preseason, we weren't sure. So this is – it has the feeling of something special.
And you and I have talked over the years about, you know, all the – or when I was in Indianapolis – 2011, I got back, and there was all the talk then of the Jaguars fans and how they weren't this and weren't that. And I was always amazed. I was like, you know, I was here in the 90s, the rabidness of this fan base. I was like, there's no way that went away. And you and I have talked over the years about when they win. It's been a long drought.
Right.
When
it was
they
dormant.
Win, the passion is ready. And it's cool to see that. I think winning Sunday would be really cool, and I'm thinking of the people who have been there 2012, 2013. I've always said the core of this fan base is as passionate and as loyal and has been through as much as any fan base I can imagine, and the passion is real for this team. To clinch it in front of those people, unbelievable day if that happens.
All right, head coach Doug Marrone will join us this morning on Jags Drive Time, as he always does. Until then, we'll bring in Ashlyn Sullivan, and we'll start with big thing number one. Ashlyn, what you got for us?
And it's a big one. Win and you're in on Sunday. It's as simple as that, but that's a lot easier said than done when a division rival comes to town. Now, you know Coach Marrone is going to say one day at a time, one game at a time. You have to handle your business on Sunday to even be talking about the playoffs.
Well, and we just touched on the win and you're in thing, but the division rival thing is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I mean, the Texans' record isn't great, and they've lost a lot of their top players, J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, and everyone knows Deshaun Watson. But when you look at that football team, I mean, they are a team that can come in and make things happen.
Well,
you've got DeAndre Hopkins mm-hmm. and Jadeveon Clowney, two of the best players at their position in the league.
It worries you for a couple of reasons. A division rival, there is always the potential for a dogfight to the end because they know you so well. Especially this time of year, you have played them already, so you know if you beat them the first time, they are going to do something significantly different to try to counteract that, so you're not sure what to expect. Plus, they know you. There's the additional factor with the Texans this week. The Colts a couple weeks ago, as you noted several times, didn't really have impact on either side of the ball. T.Y. Hilton, but beyond that, not an impact difference-making guy particularly. Well, DeAndre Hopkins, Clowney, both of those guys are capable of making game-turning plays to create points, to create a margin that you have to make up. It's what makes them dangerous is those playmakers. yes, on paper, the Jaguars should win. Yes, percentage-wise, they would win more often than not playing this team. But those two guys can be outliers.
Well, and one more thing is the playoff experience on this team. There are guys who have been there and done it. Mm-hmm. Even though this team hasn't played in the playoffs
before. You're talking
before.
About the Jags.
Yeah, and I'm talking about, you know, Calais Campbell Jackson and A.J. Boye. As we've gone through this week and asked the question, you can clinch if you win. Does that factor in? All of them have said we're human beings. We understand what's at stake, but we can't put the cart before the horse. I've been impressed with their focus in the locker room this week. They haven't gotten way, way up. And obviously, right. That's the way that this team is run.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Brian. I know that Doug Marrone is standing within earshot of this. I'm scared to even talk about clinching right now. So,
well, I'm not.
I'm all in.
Right. They could. And it's just a fact. And that's where they are. Win on Sunday, and they are in the playoffs. Where that goes from here, there are games that are left to be played. We'll figure all of that out. Beating the Texans is obviously the number one thing on the agenda this week. And we'll talk with head coach Doug Marrone here on Jags Drive Time when we return on a beautiful Friday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
You can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Welcome back, Jags Drive Time on a Friday morning. Football Friday here at Everbank Field. Glad you're with us on TuneIn Radio, pardon me. And on social media, Brian Sexton along with head coach Doug Marrone, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Chance on Sunday, coach, to take a step forward towards the division title, which I know is in your goal. You realize that the Jaguars have only ever had one winning season in the AFC South, and that was 2005. They've always been 3-3 or below since this division was put together in the 2002 season. It's significant where you're at.
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously we're well aware of that. You know, one of the things that we talked about prior to, obviously, the season even starting, going back to, you know, OTAs and minicamp was, you know, having a winning record within the division.
Right.
And, you know, to a point where, you know, we actually have put it up in the hallway, you know, where the players walk through it every day. So, you know, it's a constant reminder. We haven't done a very good job, you know, since the AFC South has formed, you know, to win within the division. And even though some of the teams in the organization had winning records, there was only one team that had a winning record within a division. And you can't be, you know, a consistent football team if you can't, you know, win in your division.
Why is it so tough to come back a second time, even whether you're beating a team or not, the second time around in the division, no matter what state that team is coming in, is always difficult. You're inside. Why is that?
No, I don't. You know, I don't really know. I don't look at it. You know, what I'm saying that way. I look at it as you know, teams know each other, and you know, people know the matchups, and the players know what have a feel for each other. I think that, you know, at the end of the year, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's pretty chancy if you go, hey, we're just going to scrap everything that we've done to get us here and now all of a sudden try something different. I just think it's different from a standpoint of everyone puts so much emphasis on winning against your division opponents and winning your division that, you know, everything else doesn't come into play, and you're just totally focused on beating a team in your division, because you know the one thing you're guaranteed is you're going to play them twice next year. You're going to play them twice the next year, the next year, the next year, the next year. So, you know, what you want to do is you don't want to set a standard, in my opinion, you don't want to set a standard where, you know, a team feels like, well, listen, we have this team's number. We're not worried. We're gonna you know, beat this team. And I think, you know, that's happened a lot, you know, for us here. And this is, it's one of the things that, you know, we're trying to change and gain some respect within the division.
So how do you place the focus on that? Because, for instance, the week before Seattle, when we were making it a big game, you know, a championship caliber team, you said, no, it's just the next game. Every game along the way, Coach, you've always treated as just being the next game. But obviously, that's not the case in the division.
No, and it's not. I mean, you know, we treat it as the next game, but there's always a little bit more within the division. And I think that, you know, it's obviously a point of emphasis of, you know, winning the games in your division. And I think that, you know, from when I first came into this league with Herm Edwards and the New York Jets, or even when I was a player, I mean, that was the focus. You know, that was probably, if you took a year and said, okay, you know, what have you talked about the most? It'd be, you know, winning the games within your division. And, you know, that's the thing that you prepare for the most, meaning in the off season, you know, you're going to study the teams in your division. You're going to make notes and go back, you know, because it's obviously it's an important part. It's very difficult to have a winning record, you know, to get where you want to go if you can't win the games in your division.
I feel left out this week, Coach, because I'm the only person you haven't told that you're not going to go there.
So go ahead.
Ask, when you're in. So I'm going to ask you when you're in, and you just tell me you're not going to go there.
I'm really not. I mean, everything takes care of itself, you know, and to focus on anything else outside is going to take away from, you know, us being able to perform the way we want to perform on Sunday. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that, you know, we're prepared for any opportunities that arise to take advantage of and not be unprepared for opportunities or have someone take an opportunity away from us.
So what's it like to coach against someone that you know and like as much as Bill O'Brien? Is that, does it mean anything? Is it a challenge to you? I've been around coaches who have struggled coaching against people that were so important to them.
Really?
Yeah. Roy Williams.
I'm just curious.
When Roy Williams was the basketball coach of Kansas, he came from North Carolina. And 2 years after he arrived, they played in the national semifinal in the Final Four against Dean Smith. And he talked at great length about how difficult it was for him to coach against Dean Smith.
I want to beat everyone's ass that we go against. Excuse me.
No.
I'm just saying, that's just.
So you just turn it off for the week?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think if it's someone I know, I want to beat him even more.
Right.
You know, because that's one person you can't avoid unless you don't want to be friends with him anymore.
Right.
You know. So,
and I'm guessing.
I'm being honest. I mean, you know, I don't really care. Football game, whatever it may be, argument, points, anything. I just want to win.
Last thing
I don't care about
sit
that.
At dinner if he beats you, right?
Yeah, I want to beat my own children in sports. That's my problem. My wife's like, gee, you know, what are you doing? I mean, I'm that guy to swat the ball away and, you know, and try to win. I mean, I just, you know, and my wife will say, well, they got to learn now. I mean, you got to learn to compete.
Do you suppose he has the same approach? You know him well.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Right now we don't talk, and, you know, it's ultra. It's even more so, you know. I think when you play against someone, you know, it's more. And you've got to do a good job of not changing. So the players don't, you know, and the coaches don't have any feel for it. But for me, it's always the same way. I don't really care who it is.
You guys aren't talking this week. How about the wives? Aren't they really close also?
I don't even talk to my wife during a week. I mean, I wouldn't even know. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't. You know, it's just like passing ships passing in a wind.
You talked so much in the off season some about getting or earning the home field advantage back.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, last Sunday, the atmosphere against Seattle, the fans, if that meant something to you to sort of see that energy back.
Well, I don't think it's about me. You know, I don't like to say, hey, listen, that meant something to me. What it means is for the players. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it from the, you know, for the players that, you know, that put in a lot of work and have worked extremely hard and trying to earn the respect of the fans to create an atmosphere that, you know, like the fans, hey, help me out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, because they definitely made a difference. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we that type of advantage is going to help us. We played a team earlier in the year, and the head coach had come up to me and said, you know, hey, listen, it's a little bit different now playing in Jacksonville. You've got these fans coming back. You know, it's definitely much harder. That was unsolicited, you know, said to me, you know, prior to the, you know, us, you know, playing the game. And I think that's a compliment for both. I think that, you know, the players have been working hard to earn the respect of the fans, and the fans have been appreciating, you know, the performance that the players have been on the field. And they're creating an atmosphere where it's very difficult. And, you know, we have a quarterback coming in, you know, with his first start, you know, of the year. And make no mistake about it, you know, the fans can affect, you know, what happens out there.
Well, we talked about it before you walked in. It's been dormant around here for too long, and last week it came to life. And I know you're not looking ahead, but, boy, in coming weeks it could be real special around here.
It's fine.
It has been in the past. So
I'm not going there.
I know you're not, and I wasn't even trying to. I was just
yeah, you were.
Offering that.
In coming time. Weeks, this is our last home game right now.
You kind of went around but the
was,
edge there.
But I was, did go around yeah, the edge, didn't
I? Tricky but that unique. Way. Coach, thanks so much for coming.
No, I appreciate it, guys.
You.
Thank you
thanks
very
so
much.
Much.
Yep. All right.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Ashlyn Sullivan, big things. He will, he won't, he might. A little Peanuts Christmas music for the coach as he makes his way out of the studio. Back after this in 60 seconds.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
You can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Christmas music. I don't know about you, but it's nice to have a week out from Christmas. I think we might have some next week, too. We'll see. Welcome back. Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Brian Sexton, John Osier. Thanks to head coach Doug Marone for making his way in. And all the way over on the other side of the studio, Ashlyn Sullivan stands prepared to bring you big thing number two, Ashlyn.
Yes, and it is about the offensive line, the unit as a whole. Now that they're healthy, you've noticed a difference the past 2 weeks, especially with Blake. When this offensive line is healthy, this offense can get going, and they can win games. You've noticed Blake being much more comfortable. And now with this going season, especially on Sunday, if they keep playing well, this team can win.
You know, John, you have been all over the offensive line this week in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been your theme. If the offensive line can play consistent football like they did against Seattle, the pass protection against the Colts was pretty good,
mm-hmm.
Then this team can go a long way.
Yeah, I didn't think it had been very consistent. Really, as a run-blocking unit, there had been moments all year, but I didn't think it had been great blocking for the run all year. I thought the backs had really helped the offensive line a lot. Last week, polar opposite. This was a team last week, for the first time this season, was getting 4, 5, 6 yards a carry. It felt like it was able to control the line of scrimmage for the first time. Blake Bortles gets touched once last week.
Right.
If this team or if this offensive line plays like that going forward, I think they have a chance to go all the way.
So it bears saying Patrick Omame makes that much of a difference? I mean, I get Jeremy Parnell back.
They have a chance to go all the way to the Super Bowl, Brian. I don't know if he makes that much of a difference. I don't think it's anything individual. I think they just brought it last week to the Seahawks. I think there was some motivation there. I think they wanted to be a physical team. I think they wanted to go after it. Sure, being healthy matters. I think Jeremy Parnell being back a second week on the other side, it seemed like maybe Cam Robinson is a little more healthy than he was for a few weeks there. After he had the ankle, Cam Robinson wasn't playing great for a few weeks. But, yeah, I think they have a
chance.
Did
you say all the way? I'm just not used to you making those outlandish statements.
Because of this. They have a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Right.
You've known that since the beginning of the year. Once we got 3 or 4 weeks in and you realized that what happened in Houston wasn't a fluke, everybody kind of said around here, this is a defense that can clearly take a team to the Super Bowl. But what about the other side of the ball? Blake Bortles, for the last 6 or 7 weeks, has played fine. The last 2 weeks, his statistics showed it, but he's been playing at that level for the last 4 or 5 weeks. The receivers have started to catch the ball the last couple of weeks. I don't worry about Blake Bortles nearly as much as I do the offensive line going forward. If the offensive line matches what they did last week, if they protect and if they run block, this team closed the door last week running the football against Seattle. They had a 13-yard run on 3rd and 11. They got out of their own end zone.
End of the third
first
quarter.
First and 99, yeah. Basically. Got out of that. That's what really good run-blocking teams do so that you don't have to take chances to get out of bad situations. If this team does that, there's no reason they can't win it. All. But that offensive line's only
Stop
done that
with
once.
The you had me at all.
That offensive line's only done that once.
You had me at all.
If it's that, this team's going to be hard to beat.
John, you convinced us. We're sold. Big thing number 3, 20 versus 10, the most entertaining matchup we might see all season. DeAndre Hopkins versus Jalen Ramsey. Now, we know how Ramsey likes to talk. It'll be no different this week. It's going to be fun to watch, guys.
This is a marquee matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be league-wide yet, but it will be.
Well, I think you're going to see some talk.
With Deshaun Watson back next year, it'll get even bigger. But
DeAndre Hopkins is very, very physical. To the point where a lot of times, just like Michael Irvin used to be, he gets called for a lot of offensive pass interference. There are times he doesn't get called for it as much as he should. He runs hard to the top of the route and then uses his physicality to get back open. Sometimes he does this, sometimes he doesn't. I think Jalen Ramsey's going to be doing this a lot. I think it's going to get physical, it's going to get loud, it's going to get emotional. I think Jalen Ramsey, if you remember, they didn't match him up one-on-one against Hopkins throughout in the first matchup. I don't know whether they'll do that this time, but when those two are against each other, if you remember, it was sort of Jalen's coming out party last year.
Yeah, I do.
The 5 pass breakups and
the game in Houston. It was this week. It was week 15.
Right, and the devastating hit. It got overshadowed coaching change the next day.
Yeah.
But this will be a good one. I think Jalen wins it.
You said win it all.
I said win it all. Well,
I just wanted to make sure you
said offensive line has to play like it has.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
So far, it's 1-13 on that level.
Okay. You're not bringing me down on that one. Ashlyn, Ozone Snapshot.
Ozone Snapshot. Number 1 from Duval Doom, Section 217. First, people not need to stop looking at scenarios to get... I'm all over the place here. Duval Doom, question number 1. First, people need to stop looking at scenarios to get in even if we lost X. Don't worry about that. Worry about winning. We're not losing anymore. Second, I for one never doubted this team, and I never doubted Blake.
Yeah, he did. But that's sort of funny. I know Doom. I think he's right on the first part, though. There is still, and I fell into it for a long time, of
conventional wisdom.
Yeah.
How you looked at this team last year is not how you should look at it this year.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're 9-4, but you know, they're winning, but they're not winning in a certain way. This team's won 6 of 7 games. They're 9-4. They're the only team out of those top three, when they do all those graphics where there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 playoff seeds. New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, the top three. The only one of those teams to beat the other is Jacksonville to beat Pittsburgh.
You remember when the Jaguars couldn't win at home? And then they couldn't win back-to-back games? They would lose in odd weeks or win in odd weeks and lose. I mean, come on.
When you win 6 of 7,
you shatter it all.
You're a good team.
When you play that kind of defense, you shatter it all. Mm-hmm. When John says they could go all the way, it shatters it all. What else you got, Ashlyn?
We're not getting past that today.
I'm not
Ozone number 2,
it.
Faith from South Dakota. Is Bortles hitting a point where he's making the players around him better? Isn't that the sign of a franchise quarterback? As I read somewhere, Bortles has the best game of his career. I've read that now 5 or 6 times this season. What does he have to do to show Tom Coughlin he is the guy?
Well, I think he's showing it, Brian. I mean, you know, it's not done yet. When you have 3 games to go and think everybody assumes at least one playoff game to go. The narrative, if you will, on a quarterback that came into the season trying to prove himself isn't written yet. But there's no question in the last 6 or 7 weeks he's been making people better. Now, for a while, the receivers hadn't caught up to him. He sure made him better last week. And you talked all week about the ability to put the ball in places where they can run. He has been calling the offense well in terms of getting the running game in good situations. They're 9-4, and he's a big reason why it's not a 500 record.
So what do they have, like about 180 yards receiving last week between D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole?
Right.
An undrafted rookie from Kentucky Wesleyan.
Who was playing Alfred State last year.
Yeah, you know, I was going there. And D.D. Westbrook playing in his fourth or fifth game. Yes, he absolutely made them better.
Right.
He led them. And I have to go back and look and think about some of the other positions. But I'm telling you what, the way that he stepped up into the pocket, I believe he's made Cam Robinson better.
Right.
I believe Jeremy Parnell, who still has that big knee brace on, he's made him better.
This team believes in Blake Bortles.
And the defense does too.
That makes them better because they do believe that he can take them where they want to go, which is all the way.
All the way. Absolutely.
Don't you forget it.
Anything else from you, Ashlyn?
Yes. One more ozone snapshot. Bill from Jacksonville. Man, this need for national validation has got to stop. A Clash lyric from my Jaguars family. Are you taking over or are you taking orders? Are you going backwards or are you going forwards? Blow up the establishment. We are the future Jag Nation. And John, I'll have to tell you that I looked that up, the Clash lyric, and it's from White Riot, and I'm now educated.
Let's go. Let's play a game. I'm ready.
You're ready.
You got any raw meat? I'm ready for Sunday.
Where did you get that?
Where did that come from? I didn't even notice that.
Let's go off a workout. Let's go.
What is going on?
I don't know.
I'm terrified.
How about we just move on? How about we... This picture has to make it to the web.
John, smile. Yeah. This is the screenshot. Nice.
From the man who put a turkey on his head, should we be surprised?
Never. Okay. Never.
How about he will, he won't, he might? Let's start with you. Who are you trying to be, by the way?
Yeah. Who is this?
I'm my own man, Brian.
All right.
Marquise Lee.
Yes.
You know, I forgot mine. You go.
Ashlyn, you want to go?
Yeah, the hat's distracting him. Let him take it off and get back to his normal John, and we'll go over there. Okay, Blake Bortles. He will continue to perform like he has been the past few weeks. We talked about the offensive line and that helping him get going. I think the offensive line continues to perform, therefore giving him a chance to succeed. Now, I don't think we see the old Blake coming back anytime soon. I don't see a blow-up coming, especially this Sunday. And he might, guys, we talked about with Ozone Live, how the young receivers are trusting him. I really do think he might be helping these players around him.
Thank you, Ashlyn. I will go next so that you have time. And my guy's TJ Yeldon, right? We're all on offense, by the way, today. And I say he will get the chance to play on Sunday against the Texans. He did not on opening day as the Jaguars ran for 155. He has a role in this defense that he's carved out. He's been active now since that Colts game in late October. And it is screens and draws. And with Leonard Fournette nursing a quad, not knowing how much action he can take on Sunday against the Texans, so he will play. I'll say he won't get lost down the stretch. The role that he's carved is an important one for the Jaguars, and I think that they will go to it. He didn't get a lot of opportunity last week because the game was close, and so I say that he will not get lost down the stretch. And my final is he might be a key down the stretch. He might be that guy that converts third down and 11, the guy that runs for 36 yards when you need 9 to help milk down the clock, that kind of stuff. So
well, he gives you unbelievable depth, which is a real key for this team right now.
Absolutely, it has been.
Marquise Lee, he will continue to be absolutely key to the offense. 5 catches last week, 65 yards, all for first downs. He has turned into a guy they can rely on. He might, or is it he will, he won't.
You go anywhere you want.
I don't think he gets back to being a drop guy. I think he's past that. He's tough through the knee. I think the knee had a lot to do with some of his drops. He was out there playing at half capacity, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think that trying to live up to being the number one, he's finally caught up to that. And he might be the toughest guy on the team. And he doesn't get a lot of credit for that because for a long time you had the soft tissue stuff. He's not as big as Allen Robinson. But a huge key for the run blocking on this team, believe it or not, everybody knows about Mercedes Lewis. Marquise Lee is a phenomenal run blocker downfield. When they break big runs, they're often running to his side of the field for that reason. So, Marquise Lee.
I don't know what shocked me more, the hat or your ability to
go
out on the edge.
Got football to play.
All right, so now you're wearing the hat. Now say it one more time, and we'll sign off with it.
What's that?
The part about all the way.
Might go all the way.
And with that, we will go all the way to the end of this show and say, have a great Friday. Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio every Monday and Friday. We'll see you Monday after the Jaguars play the Texans. Talking about a playoff berth.